And a good afternoon to you. Glad to have you on board. Drizzly afternoon. Yeah, it all drifted to the east of us. Didn't have near the expected rainfall as far as the amount of rain, but it is still raining up the I-95 corridor. Actually, between 77 and 95, that whole section's saturated this afternoon. For us, it's just hit and miss, mostly mist. Yeah. Glad to have you on board. 577-1296, 577-1296. Also, our voice line, 884-9427. Love to hear from you this afternoon. And we do appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate God's goodness and grace. Looking at some flooded roads down in the eastern part of North Carolina. Yeah, some flooded roads down along that area we were talking about in the Fayetteville, South Bend area, all through that country there. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for being on board. And again, thank God for his goodness and grace. Love to hear from you this afternoon, 577-1296. 577-1296. That's the text line. That puts you directly in contact with me. Now, I don't text while I'm on the radio. I can't type and talk. But what I will do is I'll answer you over the radio, if it's to where we can, all right? So the same thing, if you call on a voice, then we will, I'll answer you over the radio. So we'll be able to talk back and forth. How about that? Yep, okay. All right, so let's do it. And let's have some two-way radio this afternoon. Looking forward to hearing from you. But let's get you home before we do anything. And, well, looks like a COVID day. There's very little to talk about. The highways, you know, we didn't hardly do traffic for months when during COVID. And today, the only thing we got to comment would be the normal stuff, you know, on 240 coming through Asheville West. Little slowdown coming onto the bridge, on both ends of the bridge. But outside of that, there's really not a whole lot to talk about. I-26, maybe it rained the construction crews out. Maybe that's what it is. Everything's good. And the secondaries are way better than usual. So, I don't know. Maybe the construction traffic, okay? Maybe they didn't work today because of the rain, and so they're not on the highway, and I don't know. I really don't. But I know this, not much to talk about traffic-wise. Now, you go down to Greenville, we'll find something to talk about. I always do. It's, right there around the airport, and that's been slow now for several days. And then it's all centers around Pelham. East and north and south, both sides of Pelham is where the problem's at down there. Well, looking at the radar, and the thing about it is this, the type of rain that we're having is hard to pick up. Our closest radar site is in Greenville, South Carolina. And so if the rain is higher than the eastern escarpment, it can see it. If it's not, it can't. Now, I realize that Doppler bounces a little bit, and it does. It has multiple characteristics because it uses multiple frequencies. But still, it's hard for radar to see behind something, and that's just the way it is. There was a time that when Charles Taylor was in office, there was a radar installation budgeted to come to the Asheville Airport. And he left office, it was, they voted it down. And I think it went to Nancy Pelosi or somewhere. So anyway, yeah, but we don't have radar in Asheville as far as our National Weather Service site. We got one in Knoxville. I got one, I think, in Bristol, Tri-Cities, but we don't have one in Asheville. So it makes it hard for us to see in this part of the country. And we are probably one of the most vulnerable places with the terrain that we have in need of extra radar installation sites, but nope, not happening. We're too conservative for that, and they're not going to spend money in a conservative district. You can rest assured of that. Politicians are not. So anyway, well, it is coming at us, what little we're getting. It's coming at us from the west, and it's moving into the mountains, but it's just like I say, here, yonder, and about, not a lot. And the temperature is 65. That's current. 65 degrees. That's where we are as we speak, 65. And when I check the airport, they're showing at 506 was their reading, It was at 68, so they're just a tad bit warmer than we are. And they are a tad bit lower than we are as well. Yeah, they're just a little lower. The river runs downhill, so the river goes by the airport. You know, we're upstream from the airport, so they are just a little warmer typically than we are. If we drop off the mountain and look at it, we are, can I find it? I don't know if I can or not. Here it is. Yeah, it's back reporting today. 5 o'clock report, 72. So there's a full 7-degree differential today between us and Greenville. That's, if you were to ask me, that would be my go-to number. If I don't know what the temperature is, you say, what do you think it is in Greenville? Given, you know, no weather factors, I would typically guess 7 degrees warmer between those two airports. Well, there's about 1,000-foot elevation difference between Greenville and Spartanburg. The upstate runs at around 1,000 feet above sea level, and Asheville runs right at 2,000 feet. We're a little higher than that, but Asheville's about 2,000 feet above sea level. So 5 degrees per 1,000 is typically what you figure, but it's not uncommon for us to see 7 between those two particular locations. Weatherman says we've got some more of this today, got some more of this tonight, got some more of this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a little warmer, 72, but a 70% chance of the same thing. Fog, showers, thunderstorms, all of that tomorrow. It increases to 80% by tomorrow evening. It'll drop off to 30% by tomorrow night. And then we see the big plunge. We drop from like 63 tonight to 47 tomorrow night. 47. By Thursday night, you're going to see 44. So, 44. It's getting time. It's getting time for this. And, of course, we got some very nice, clear weather behind this. But it is going to be on the cooler side. We will build back into the low 70s, maybe mid-70s by next Tuesday. And we'll get out of the 40s. We'll go back into the low 50s, too. But no rain. Once we get out of tomorrow night, Thursday through Tuesday, clear skies. Clear skies. Speaking of clear skies, clear, smooth sailing. I just heard from the captain of the Sea Hope. They are back underway. They have offloaded in St. Vincent and the hospital load and are on the way back. They'll come back to San Juan, Puerto Rico and reload and go straight to Haiti without fueling. Yeah, they're able to do that. The ship carries enough fuel to do that. So they're going from one end of the Caribbean to the other. They're going opposite extremes. And it's about the same distance, actually, to go down to the Windward Islands. It's about the same distance to come all the way back to Haiti. Yeah, Haiti's closer than you would think it is to the tip of Florida. As a matter of fact, every time there's a full moon, we get Haitian immigrants on barrels and boats and anything you can think of, and they just land on the beaches. Oh, yeah, they really do. So, they float here. The current brings them here. Yeah, the 21st day of the month of September. Let me just insert this before I forget it. Does anybody speak Spanish? Excuse me. That's not what I'm going to say. Does anybody speak French? Do we have any French interpreters? Well, you're needed at the Mexican border. Yeah, you're needed at the Mexican border. They are in desperate need of French interpreters at the Mexican border. Why? Because this administration decided they would no longer deport Haitian refugees, and so they have amassed about 11,000 under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas. All French-speaking Haitians crossing into America illegally through the porous Mexican border. Well, that's no surprise. Did you know that last year we caught 52 countries slipping across the border? Mexican border. 52 separate countries were caught, including Israeli citizens trying to slip into the United States, but also Cubans, North Koreans, Iranians, Afghanistan. Oh, yeah. You don't hear about that, do you? Well, you won't. Not under the way things are going, you won't hear about it. And here's what's funny. Fox News is trying to cover it. Did you know that, and Ted Cruz, the senior senator from Texas, was there on the border filming this, and Fox News was there covering it. And did you know that this administration ordered the FAA to declare a no-fly zone over the border so they could not fly their drones, so that they could not report the news? That's right. Yeah, they made them stop flying the drone because they didn't want people to see the crisis that they created by announcing nobody has to go home. Yeah, so we have 11,000 Haitians trying to get in. Oh, they're in. They're going to get in. Yeah, they're crossing in illegally. Then they turn themselves in, and they're free to go. And they just go wherever. Yeah, seriously. And one of the first things they'll do, who paid for them to get fly to the border? I wonder. And they may have floated. I don't know. That's a long way to float. But, I mean, they may have floated. But anyway, they're here. They're here, 11,000. And there's women, children, everything. I mean, it's a real mess. It's a real humanitarian crisis. And it was created by this administration for making the announcement that Haitians were no longer, despite what federal law says, this administration said, well, we're not going to send them back. We're too loving and kind, and we're liberal, and we just love everybody. We want everybody to love us, and we're just not going to do that to them. Don't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Won't you sleep better tonight? Won't you sleep better tonight because that you have 11,000 illegal Haitians coming in, not counting all the Afghanistan coming in, all the Afghanis? And the problem is we don't even know who these Afghanis are like before. Yeah, we don't even know who they are. We don't know if they're Taliban. We don't know if they're ISIS-K. We don't know who they are. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. We have no clue. Oh, my soul. I've never seen anything, any more incompetence in my life. Never seen anything like it. The incompetence of this administration is beyond comment. It's just, it's ridiculous. It would be funny if it didn't make you so mad. You know, it's ridiculous. God help us. 21st day of the month of September, and the AM Today is being sponsored by the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and love and appreciation for Pastor Josh Martin and his wife, Pamela. And we appreciate Pastor Martin and Miss Pamela. God bless you. Thank you. And appreciate Pleasant Hill for standing with us today. The network is being sponsored by Van and Mary Googe, and it's in thankfulness for Fairhaven Baptist Church, Pastor Chris and Sister Christy Norris, and WGCR. And they quote Joshua 24:15. Thank you to Brother Van and Miss Mary. We appreciate these folks making the day possible. God bless you. We appreciate that a great deal. Birthdays today, our very own Miss Sarah Kraft. And special congratulations to that dear lady. And also Van and Mary Googe are celebrating today. So special congratulations to them as well. Well, let's see who's with us this afternoon. And Kathy, Vanny, Geraldine, Joseph, let's see here, Gary, Akbar, Belinda, Daryl, Judy, and we are... All right. They're saying, okay, this is helping me, saying that many of the Haitians have been living in Central America for years, and they don't want to go back to Haiti. And so when they found out they could come to the United States, and we had an open arms policy toward them, so that's what happened. They all come. So apparently they were already there illegally in Central America or wherever, Mexico or wherever. Yeah, so... Well, I mean, we're doing disaster relief to the Haitians, and we have Haitian national pastors love the Lord. They're I mean, but I'm just going to tell you, Overall, the Haitian people are some of the hardest people that I've ever dealt with in ministry. And you got to remember, I've dealt with Arabs, Egyptians, I've dealt with Kuwaitis, I've dealt with Saudis. You got to remember that I've dealt with, you know, with Jews. And I've never dealt with anybody just exactly like the Haitians. They're I'm tell you something. They're difficult to deal with. Oh my soul. And they've never had anything, and they don't know how to have anything. And they it's all survival of the fittest. And it's one of the few places that they will knock down the old women. The young men will knock the old women down. The young men will knock the children down to think that they're going to get something. You know, they're hard to deal with, hard to work with. Oh my soul. We worked with them in a number of places, particularly in Key West, and they're tough, a tough group as a whole. They make good Christians, but boy, when they're not saved, they are tough to deal with. All right, let's talk about some folks, other folks that are with us this afternoon. We've got the Philippines, and we have got Pakistan, and we have got, let's see here, I know Canada is on with us. I don't see the UK today. I've got Houston, Fort Mill, Greenville, Greer, Ottawa, Arden, Franklin, Marion, Hendersonville, Silva, Raleigh, Asheville, Mobane, Grassy Creek, Nassau, Joplin, Picayune, Plymouth, Ann Arbor. We do have Germany, Kiez, Mecklenburg, and I was trying to think what the rest of that word is. Okay, it's Mecklenburg-Vorpommern. How else would you say it? Vorpommern is the way it, Vorpommern, I guess. Mecklenburg-Vorpommern is V-O-R-P-O-M-M-E-R-N. Try to say that 10 times fast. Glendale Heights, Illinois, Augusta, Georgia, Avon, Englewood, Colorado, Walnut Creek, California, San Jose, and Springdale, Arkansas. Glad to have all you folks with us here this afternoon. We are very glad to have you. Well, let me see if I can answer some questions here. And how did they get there? Who paid for them? Yeah, somebody said that's a lot of inner tubes. It is. 11,000. Yeah, that's a lot of inner tubes in it. Yeah. And somebody like in the comment, they said 2607 said Trump had a big mouth, but at least he had a brain. Well, that's Donald Trump was his own worst enemy. I'm very serious. He was his own worst enemy, and he liked to argue. He liked to take on the media. He liked to insult them. He enjoyed it, and it didn't turn out well for him. You know, it cost him in the long run, and So anyway, they're saying now that we have, 1,169 Afghan refugees heading to six cities in North Carolina, including Asheville. Afghan refugees. And it's not to have anything against the Afghan people. But we have been burnt so many times with this same thing. That, what a mess. Somebody saying, don't hold back what you think. 7896, I'm not going to go as far as what you did. No, I don't use president and his name in the same sentence, unless it's an accident. I respect the office of the president. I just don't respect the man who holds it. When he starts acting like one, I'll call him one. Yeah, okay. Chad Reed's having a birthday. Congratulations. Glad to have Chad with us and appreciate it. And Ashley is on board. Glad to have you. Appreciate you being here. Let me see here. I'm not sure. Let me just read the text and I'll try to assimilate it as we go. 1098 asks, they're raising Cain about COVID restrictions and shot requirements in Australia. Have you heard anything about that? And why has everybody quit talking about all the Americans we left behind in Afghanistan? There are many more than they claim. And flying Haitians back home, only 300 so far. Okay. I hadn't heard they'd flown 300 back, but they've apparently changed their mind, huh? Or I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, I know. It is a mess. It is a mess. Ah, what a mess. We have got, you know, Hillary Clinton made the campaign statement. She said, against Donald Trump, she said, who would you want to answer the phone at 3 a.m. in a national in a national emergency? Who would you want to answer the phone? Well, she was inferring that you wouldn't want Donald Trump to answer it. She was inferring that you'd want her to answer it. Well, the truth is now we don't have anybody answering it. Ain't nobody home. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know who to. I don't know who, what to say. It's in bad shape. And somebody's making the statement, said, it's all by design. Well, I say it this way. It'd be hard to mess it up this bad accidentally. You have to wonder if there's not some design in all this. Yeah, you have to think about that. You have to wonder about that for sure. And so you got to think about that. Well, several things that I was wanting to share with you this afternoon, and we appreciate you being on board, and we appreciate God's mercy and God's grace. I wanted to mention, first of all, and give you some updates, Miss Janice Sexton. She is progressing, liver transplant a week ago yesterday. She is progressing. She's hitting all the markers. I like the way Duke does things. There is a small army of people that are assigned to her case from every discipline. In other words, she has a heart doctor. She has a endocrinologist as far as the, you know, that part. She's got a liver doctor, hematologist. She's got a pulmonologist for the breathing. I mean, she's got one of everything. And here's if you've never been to Duke and watched this, when in their transplant ward and in their intensive care, they walk together and the entire team walks in all at the same time. It's like nothing you've ever seen. I mean, it fills the room. And they got big rooms, but it fills the room. And all the interns are standing out in the hallway with these roll-around computers, and they're typing everything the doctor is saying into the notes. So you've got the rooms full, and then you got the hall is full, or the area around you is full. It's pretty amazing. And now with the interactive, you can, you can type something into the notes. You can ask a question or whatever, and you'll get a response. It's pretty amazing. But it's no more he said, she said, they said. They're all there. Okay, we're having heart issues. Well, doctor, cardiologist, what do you say about that? And then he says something. And they say, okay, we've got liver enzyme issues. What do you think about that? And so the hematologist or the endocrinologist speaks up, you know, and says such and such. Then the hematologist says, well, this and this. It is a, It's a team. It's a group effort, and it's amazing. And for everybody who's there looking and standing and talking, they've got their entire teams monitoring what's being said about this patient and what's being typed into these roll-around laptop things that all these interns are typing into. And it's amazing. Yesterday morning, and Brother Butch mentioned her fast heart rate, that she had a heart rate when she was walking at like 155, and that's too fast. It prompted an entire day's worth of testing. I mean, they tested her up one side and down the other. And I'm not talking about 3 weeks from now. I'm talking about they had the consult at 9, and by 11, she's in testing. Oh, yeah. It's an all-inclusive. Now, I mean, of course, you know, North Carolina is unusual to have the number of world-class hospitals that we have, you know, in North Carolina. We are. I mean, you know, there's Mayo, and there's, you know, the big ones. You don't want to talk John Hopkins and those others. But we also have two or three that are very well known. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people come here for that thing. And my nurse is telling me here that they're called interdisciplinary rounds. Oh, yeah. The different disciplines, interdisciplinary. All your different disciplines are there at the same time, and they all sit here and look at each other. And so you throw a question out, and then they bounce it around, and you get answers on the spot. Yeah, isn't that good? I think it's taken away from me. I think it just did. It took it away. So, it just took it away from me. So, at least on the AM. So, it will not take it away. All right, I don't know if that was a test or what, but I'm back up. It took it away for a moment. And so this was a test of the emergency broadcast system. And if this had been an actual emergency, you would have been given instructions of following those tones. All right, this concludes a test of the emergency broadcast system. All right, let's go back to the text line for a minute. And so we've sent 300 home, and there's about 12,000 now, so my numbers are old. Yeah, there was only 10,000. What, let's see, what day would that have been? 10,000, 4 or 5 days ago, about 10,000. There was 1,000, and then they found out they weren't going to deport them, and so it massed to 10,000, then it went to 12,000. Isn't that something? Yeah. So, yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay. And, yeah. Okay, and Duke is known for transplants. Yeah, they are. And transplants have a ward. That's all they do is just the transplants. So, and then, by the way, the last time I heard, the live donor that donated the liver was doing fine. And so that was good to hear. Very glad to hear that. That's good news. Good news for sure. Also, I asked you yesterday to pray for a lady that she has been extremely sick, 14 days of COVID. I'm talking about extremely sick, to the point to where, you know, it's getting scared, and has had a better day today. And so thank you for praying yesterday. Don't stop praying. I don't think she's out of the woods, but she had a better day today. And so we're grateful for that. Let me mention, if you have COVID, I try to, unless you've got a reason not to, and some people, you know, are free bleeders, some people can't, some people are already on blood thinners and things, and so they can't, but most people who are not on any type of blood thinning therapy already probably need to be on a baby aspirin. If you come down with COVID, you say, well, a baby aspirin won't make me feel any better. It may not, but it may save you from having a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in the lung. If those blood clots go to the heart, then it becomes, of course, a heart attack, or it goes to the brain, it's a stroke. So, and the jury's still out on exactly why so many people are having blood clots. Part of it may be because you're so still and can't do anything. There's another issue that I know occurs that has not occurred in everybody, but when you have cold, you're burning up with a fever, but you have cold hands and cold feet. Yeah, that's a special situation, and that aspirin is what's prescribed. Anybody who is passing out with COVID, now it's possible to pass out because your oxygen's too low. That's possible. But they find that some people are passing out because their blood basically is, for lack of a better term, too thick. And that's not a true statement, but it's kind of true. Anyway, an aspirin. Matter of fact, that I know of two different situations, the doctor put them on two baby aspirin a day. Some are saying now, full COVID, you need 325 milligrams. So baby aspirin's 81 milligram. Now some are saying a full aspirin, 325. And for most people, now not everybody, but for most people, a baby aspirin is probably good for you, okay? And so, the biggest thing is being consistent, and that's true. Thank you for that. And so adjusting your blood thinner, adjusting, you know, all of those things together, you just got to be consistent. Now, vitamin E fish oil can do the same thing to a degree. And then, by the way, other NSAIDs, NSAID non-steroidal, NSAID, an anti-inflammatory drug. Okay, is that right? Yeah. Like Celebrex, like meloxicam, like Aleve. Yeah, all of those. And of course, the most common is aspirin and ibuprofen, Motrin, all of those. Those are called NSAIDs. And they all have a thinning characteristic to a degree. But for whatever reason, I was on meloxicam and the doctor said, nope, that's not enough. I want you on aspirin. Okay. So, okay, that's fine. And so I'm on a baby aspirin every day. I also had a doctor tell us that for neuropathy, my mom's got it in her feet because of diabetes, and that there's a couple of things to ensure blood flow, to make sure that, you know, you get the blood flow to the feet and to the extremities, the vitamin E, the aspirin. We do some magnesium in there as well. We do some potassium, make sure we keep the electrolytes up. And it seems, we'll put it this way, it's not hurting. Okay, it seems to help. What's the side effect? Well, if you take aspirin all the time and you go have a COVID shot, it may bruise. Probably will bruise. Have any kind of shot, it probably will bruise. They took me off of all NSAIDs, all fish oil, everything, 2 weeks prior to my surgery, 2 weeks, and kept me off of it for a full 6 months. Would not let me go back on it. It wasn't for fear of bleeding. They actually wanted the inflammatory response that my body would produce to fuse my spine. I had double fusion. And so they were trying to get the bone to grow up through the cages and fuse the bones together. Right now being held together by the rods, and they wanted the bone to bone, a solid spine as opposed to, you know, spine with screws in it with rods. So, yeah, and Tylenol, no. Tylenol's not an NSAID. It's totally different. Acetaminophen is it's a painkiller, so it is an analgesic, but it is not. It does not have any thinning properties to it. That's why nowadays that they're, you know, you can take NSAIDs on your right hand and you can take acetaminophen on your left hand and you can cross them. And they have now saying that it doesn't matter. In other words, they're so different. They work differently. As a matter of fact, they're saying now that a combination of ibuprofen and Tylenol works as good as not morphine, but as good as the narcotics. Many of the narcotics. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, did you know that some of the narcotics need the acetaminophen to work? Oh, yeah. Most of your cottons, the ones that have cotton on the end of it, most of the time it will be prescribed. It will be a little number in the front, like a 5, and then it'll have a slash, then it'll have like 325 mg. Well, if you read it, you've got 325, you got 5 milligrams of oxycodone or oxy, you know, whatever, and then you've got 325 milligrams of Tylenol, and one helps the other. Yeah. And by the way, did you know some of the powders have been mixing it for years? So it's not anything new. Yeah, some of the like, I don't remember which ones, but there's 2 or 3 different powders, and they were some of the early ones to start experimenting with mixing the two. But I had a nurse tell me in the ER that now for severe pain, they prescribe the, and somebody said, well, what's the limits? What does it say on the bottle? What's it say? So whatever the max is for the one, what is the max for the other? And then you crisscross them. And you can take them. Matter of fact, I was so sick, hurting so much, I sat down and come up with a schedule of what to take when. Yeah, so you're always taking something. Well, what happens is you run out, and at the end of that, if you're in bad pain, you know, at about 3 hours and 50 minutes, you're climbing the wall, and that last 10 minutes till you get your 4 hours in seems like 3 days. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So what you do is you space it so that you're taking it more frequently, less of it more frequently, so that you've got more on board, and you get that overlap, and you get that half-life of the drugs going in. And once you get that up and get it built up, then you can keep that up. Now, usually when you go to sleep, you don't take it on the same regimen. So in the morning, you're hurting, you know, when you wake up. But once you get it back built back up and get it back in your system, it is an effective way. And the other side of it is the narcotics. They shut down your GI tract. And, I mean, they're terrible. So the side effects of the narcotics are just something you don't want to have to deal with. So the quicker you can get off of those things, the better. And how some people take this stuff for recreation and large amounts of it, I don't see. I don't see how they stand it as far as, you know, it puts your GI tract to sleep. So hydrocodone, hydrocodone, oxycodone, oxy. I don't know about OxyContin, but anyway, that's, you know, anyway. The Johns Hopkins. Let's change gears here, okay? I said some things at the end of last week about some research concerning the whole spike protein controversy. It hit the media, cytokines? I'm not looking at my notes. Anyway, a cytokine storm or a syndicate. Anyway, I can see it spelled, but I don't know how to say it. That hit the media, and a lot talked about that. People hitting the brick wall at the end of the 3 weeks and things like that. They're now saying, Johns Hopkins has got some more research out about this, and they're saying that the spike protein that's a part of the coronavirus activates a part of the immune system known as complement, and that it is hijacking the body's immune system and turning it against healthy tissue. Well, I'm glad to see this out of Johns Hopkins, because this was a Chinese study that I was looking at. So Johns Hopkins has stepped in, and they have studied this. So there's some, at least we get some peer review in this thing. And they're, and I don't know, understand all I'm telling you. I'm just reading you what I'm reading you what I'm seeing. This guy's name's Brodsky at Johns Hopkins. They're releasing their findings. And his group has shown that blocking the complement protein factor D could interrupt the cascade of events that lead to severe illness and organ damage. Cytokines, C-Y-T-O-K-I-N-E-S, cytokines. I was trying to say cytokines, yeah. And it's related. But what they're saying is there's more to it. Their fear now is more to it. And here's the thing. It's not in everybody. But what we raised last week, what this whole study coming out of China raised was, should we be injecting people with spike proteins? If the immune response is causing an autoimmune response in some people and it's attacking people's organs. So... And here's one thing that was in the Chinese study that I thought very interesting. If you have had COVID and you have the normal antibodies for whatever reason, and it may be to do with this protein factor D, I don't know. But people who had natural antibodies didn't seem to be a subject to this. Okay. So does that mean that getting the shot triggers that natural style immunity so that, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's still too much out. I think there's too much. And of course, it depends on what you read, you know, and it says all three, the Johnson & Johnson, of course, they do it differently. There's a different way that they go about it. But both the Moderna and also the Pfizer, they actually trick your body into creating a spike protein. It's an RNA thing that they go in and it does it from an internal standpoint, I guess you'd say. Johnson & Johnson does something similar, but it's a little different process, if I understand it correctly. There was a company that said they were coming to market. I've never heard anything else from them. I read the article. They're coming to market. It's just like the flu shot. They're going to use the dead cell, and it's going to be one and done. It's not going to be bad. It's just you're going to be fine. What happened? Where's that at? It was supposed to have been here months ago. It was, and I can't think of who it was now, but I read it. That's my problem. I read too many things, and I don't take good notes. And then when I get to where I need it, I can't reach and get it. Yeah. The myocardium, blood vessels, and organs is what the spike proteins are attacking in some people. Is the spike protein in the virus or in the shot? Both. But spike protein is not something that is unique to. It's not unique to COVID. Okay. No, spike protein is. Well, I said that. Let me say it this way. COVID-19. So let's get a little more specific. Okay, COVID-19. This COVID-19 spike proteins are common to COVID as a whole. Anyway, not time. Not time to deal with a whole lot else. But have you heard anything else about the AstraZeneca? What happened to that? That is common. They even have it in the Philippines. I think they have it in South America. It's all over Europe, but they don't have it here. What happened? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened. So I'll go and try to do some reading tonight. All right, I'll try to get better informed before we bring up the topic again. All right, thank you so much. All right, let me say, appreciate you being on board. I got school tonight. I got to teach. So let me say again, we appreciate the Lord's mercy. Appreciate you being with us. Appreciate our time together in the afternoons. And I'll talk to our doctor, who is our consultant. He is he taught medicine, and so he taught medicine. So he is a professor, retired professor from university that taught medicine. And so I will get a better briefing before I bring it up again. How about that? All right. Thank you so much. Thank the Lord. Appreciate His mercy and grace. Let me just leave you with a thought again. I'm not fussing. I'm just stating the fact. And if the Lord uses it, then fine. It is possible to have the right position and the wrong disposition. It is possible to have the right position but the wrong disposition and do just as much damage as having the wrong position. I see it every day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for this dear lady that has COVID and that is trying to recover. Lord, we pray that you'd thank you for the good day that she's had today, the better day. And Lord, we pray that you'd regain her strength. And Lord, that you would, Lord, touch her and help her. We plead the blood over her. We pray for everybody, not just Miss Janice, but everybody in the transplant ward. And Lord, that you would touch them and help them. And may they have as good a progress as she is having. Lord, we pray for all of those that have suffered disaster and are suffering displacement and all the things that they're going through and all of the rigmarole with government. Please, Lord, help them and bless them, I pray. Lord, I pray for the Sea Hope on its way back into Puerto Rico as they reload and head out again, going to the country of Haiti. Lord, I pray that you would use the supplies and, Lord, that you would bless there in all of those efforts. Thank you, Lord, for every person that had a part in funding all of the things that the Sea Hope has been able to do in these many voyages. We give you glory for it all. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have funded the local disasters as well. Haiti, St. Vincent, North Carolina. Thank you, Lord, for those that have been a blessing and those that have helped. And Lord, may we be good stewards with what you have entrusted us with. Father, help us to be found faithful. Speak to our hearts, and Lord, may you be glorified in our lives. And it's in Christ's name that we ask and pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. We appreciate you being with us and appreciate God's goodness and grace here on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.